Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Rich Tola, and thanks for listening to my East Coast Talk for a 21st Century World. We got a great show today, folks. It's Acoustic Friday. In the studio today, award-winning singer-songwriter Eric Masick. Wait till you hear Eric. He's awesome. Known him for quite some time. We'll talk about that. He's going to be here shortly. But first, let me say thanks yesterday to Jared Cohen. Jared was our guest, Hollywood photographer. Also did a great article about the Karate Kid's 30th anniversary. If you want to check Jared out, they're having an event at the Japanese American National Museum. This is coming Tuesday. It's going to be a screening, reception. Ralph Macchio is going to be a lot of folks there. You're going to love it. And let me give a shout out to my San Francisco peeps today. You know who you are, Gabriella, you know, from Boston, Michael. So I want to say hello to the folks up in San Fran. Hope you're listening. I'm sure you are. So let's get started. You know, we like to go around the globe for the latest news, strange but true, but we are going to go around the globe. And we're going to start with Mumbai, India, right, with the insatiable wife. All right, have you read this? Have you checked this out? There's a man who was granted a divorce from his wife because she wanted too much sex. I mean, check it out. This guy says he was exhausted husband begged the judge that he could no longer keep up with his wife's, quote, excessive and insatiable desire for sex. When he resisted, she abused him until he succumbed, no pun intended. So the sex-craved wife, she gave him medication and forced him to drink alcohol to boost his sexual appetite. I mean, are you kidding me? Now listen, I went to Dr. Phil's website this morning just to check out the statistics. Check this out. Married couples have sex, on average, 68.5 times a year. That's slightly more than once a week. I mean, I don't know what this lady was doing. Maybe she's trying to have sex 3-4 times a day. Who the hell knows? But also on that website, 20 to 30% of men, 30 to 50% of women have little or no sex drive. So, yo, Mr. Mumbai, maybe you want to come to the United States and find a woman here because then you won't have any sex. I don't know. Let's move on to the welfare weed. All right. Anybody hear about this? Check this out. Low-income residents in California. We're not talking LA here, folks. We're talking Berkeley. Everybody knows Berkeley up near San Francisco. The Berkeley City Council has passed a law requiring medical marijuana dispensaries to distribute 2% of their stashes to people making less than $32,000 a year or families, check it out, making less than $46,000 a year. Now, you need a prescription, of course, but check it out. Mayor Tom Bates said it's an effort to provide equal access to what California law considers medication. Wow. If anybody's a stoner out there and you're poor, you got to move to Berkeley. It goes into effect next August. So, hey, pack your bags and go to Berkeley. All right, here we go. Check this out. Rich and distressed. In Melbourne, Australia, I'm gonna give a shout out to my friend Marie over there in Australia. Here's a teacher, Peter Doulis, 48. Okay, check this out. He's been awarded $770,000 due to feral and unruly kids. All right, this guy claims he was forced to teach the worst students at Werribee Secondary College between 1998 and the year 2004. Okay, this guy said he had to teach students with ADHD, autism, and dyslexia. Now, I mean, this guy had a major meltdown, suffered chronic depression, and the Supreme Court voted in his favor, finding that the school had breached its duty to care for Doulis. Now, I don't know. I don't know about you, but, you know, I have a personal friend who teaches in the Valley here in Los Angeles, and talk about his students. I mean, it's unfortunate what's happened to the education these days. I always say that. Kids, stay in school. Pay attention, right? Do the homework. Everything's a function of time. I mean, this guy, my buddy, no bullshit here. This guy's been teaching for 5 years. He said, Rich, the average GPA of these high school students is 1.5. bad news. So, hey, I don't know. This guy should be awarded some money, too, for teaching these kids. So, kids, stay in school. Get your shit together and do well, all right? 1.5, that's absurd, right? And nobody's getting awarded $770,000 like they are all over there. But, all right, let's move on. This is a little bit of a tragic story, unfortunately. I'm calling this the death row wacko. This guy in San Angelo, Texas. Now, check this out. This is bad news here, no question. Former stepfather of a five-year-old girl who allegedly slit her throat after he split with her mother, he could face the death penalty. Well, I'll give you my opinions on that, but check it out. This loser broke into his ex-girlfriend's home, fatally stabbed this girl, then he drags the ex-girlfriend out to the street on the sidewalk. He's punching her, choking her. I mean, what the hell's going on? Now, the San Angelo police chief, Tim Vasquez, said, quote, "In my time here, this is probably the most horrific homicide involving a child." Okay, they're holding this guy in jail on $1 million bond. You know what I think? My opinion is, forget about the bond. You should slit this guy's throat. Capital punishment, for sure. What he did to that child should be done to him. If this guy's proven to have done this, no question, folks. Hey, I'm a believer in capital punishment. I'm a Sicilian guy, right? Forget about it. Sicilians, you know, it's all about capital punishment. So let's move on to our Get Your Shit Together award. You know how every day we have an award that goes to the person, or who knows, company, whatever, who's got to get their shit together. Did a podcast, 30 episodes. Check it out on my website, richtola.com. 30 episodes of getting your shit together in a positive way. We're not talking negatives here, people. We're talking positive. Someone who's got to take some part of their life, a component of their life, as I say, and they got to get their shit together. Check it out. 30 episodes across the board. A lot of fun stuff out there. No question. That podcast led me to this live show. So there you go. Let's talk about it. Who gets the award today? Now, this, no question, it's bizarre. To use a word, bizarre, okay? In perhaps the most bizarre wedding ceremony of the year, an 18-year-old Indian girl, here we go, back to India, has married a dog to warn off evil spirits. I mean, who the hell marries a dog? Manjali Mundo lives in a remote village in eastern India. She said, "I do," to Shiru, in front of 70 friends and family. I mean, this dog arrived in his chauffeur-driven car. He's given the royal treatment. You should see, he's got all these paintings on his face and everything. Quoting this little girl, says, "I am marrying a dog because the village elders believe that my evil spell would be passed to the dog." Okay? Quote, "After that is done, the man I will marry will have a long life." Are you kidding me? That's what she wants? She wants a prince in hairy armor? I mean, forget about it. This is not the first time that this has happened in India, by the way. Never been to India. I know there's a lot of yoga going on over there. But when people are marrying dogs, I wonder if she's paying attention to... I don't know. But hands down, this woman, Miss Mundo, you get the award for Get Your Shit Together for today. No question. So, you know, folks, we have our... theme of the day, Acoustic Friday. Right before we get to that, I am going to talk a little bit about my good buddy Eric Masick. I met Eric in 2009. He's from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. He's the 2013 Diesel Indie Music Series winner. He's the grand prize winner at the Music Palooza National Competition. He won the Best Male Vocalist of the Year award at the LA Music Awards, and he was also on NBC's The Voice. No question. And he's been invited several times to the Sundance Film Festival. We're going to bring Eric in just a minute here. Right before we do that, you're going to love this guy. As well as, he is the composer of, for you know, my film Boulevard Zen. Well, Eric did all the music. We'll talk about that, the theme song. It's a lot of fun. But before we get to Eric, I'm going to give you the health and fitness tip of the day, and then he'll be in any minute. Health and fitness tip of the day. Okay, and now this is from my Stay Zen web series. So if anybody's out there wants to kind of get tuned in to Staying Zen, I did a 12-episode web series. You can find it on YouTube, Boulevard Zen. That's my channel. Can't spell Boulevard, look it up. Those kids with the 1.5 high school, you know, grade point averages, you surely should be able to spell Boulevard. Probably can't, but go look it up. Study it. That's a cool word. Boulevard Zen. That's the YouTube channel. So here we go. Episode 7, I did an episode called 20 Ways to Be 20 Years Younger. And I'm going to take a little step back here This morning, I was in the gym, and here we go. Eric's walking in the studio right now. What do you say, E? So this morning, I'm in the gym. Here's a cool little story. I go to the gym, as you know, every single day, 7 days a week. That's my theory. I put in 45 minutes of the weights. I do 15, 20 minutes yoga, whatever, okay? But I'm in the gym, and there's this older gentleman. Well, let's just say geriatric gentleman. He's definitely an older gentleman. I see him in there. He's in there Monday through Friday. And he's kind of walking as if he's using a cane. I mean, this guy seems pretty old to me. So anyway, I'm in the bathroom and I start talking to him. And, I'm like, yo, what's going on? I said, let me tell you. I said, you're here Monday through Friday, huh? He goes, yep, Monday through Friday, 5 days a week. I said, got to ask you a question. I said, how old are you? He said, 89. I'm like, holy shit. This guy's 89 years old. He goes to the gym. He's hitting it. He wears the belt and everything. Hey, more power to you, my man. And he looked at me and he goes, what are you, about 30? Oh, tell me that's not a compliment. 51 years old, I said. He goes, holy shit. So anyway, listen, people, anybody could look younger than they are. Eric, I mean, he looks a lot younger than he is. But here's your tip of the day. It's number 2 out of these 20 ways. It's walk at least 1 mile a day. And how do you do that? Don't tell me you don't have time to do that, people. It takes 20 minutes if you're dragging your feet. Here's what you do. You walk out the door, you walk 10 minutes, you stop, you turn around and come back. There you go. That's your mile. I mean, I walk 2 to 5 miles a day, no doubt, but you should be walking 1 mile a day. It's easy peasy. Get it out there. Do it. Don't make excuses. Don't say you don't have 20 minutes. Get up 20 minutes early. You know, I say if you don't work out, get up, roll over to the ground. Well, here's what you do. Roll to the ground, do your 10 minutes of ab stretching, get up and walk a mile. It's easy, people. Number 1, in case you were wondering, it's exercise at least 30 minutes a day, which, by the way, is only 2% of your life. Remember, 15 minutes equals 1% of your life. Well, there you go. Health and fitness tip of the day. And on that note, let's say hello to Eric Masick.
How you doing, buddy?
Awesome. Eric, how you doing? Thanks so much for coming in. Eric, now I know you live in Los Angeles. You've been here about how many years now?
You know, it's been 2 years, actually. I finally made the cut here. I was in Orange County and then finally ended up coming up here now to L.A. So 2 years, actually, last month.
2 years last month. And sorry about that, Eric. I forgot to hit the button that put you on when we first started. So this is Eric, folks. Now, let me give you a little background how I met Eric Masick. Here's a cool little story. This was back in 2009. I think, Eric, you'll remember this. I was teaching. I had a yoga student at one of my classes who was going to play at the Hotel Cafe, and if you guys are familiar with that, amazing place here in Hollywood, and she invited me. She put me on the guest list. I remember. She said, Rich, the show starts at 8 o'clock. Well, you know, I'm a New Yorker guy. Everybody gets there late. Nobody shows up on time, right? So I'm thinking, 8 o'clock, that means like 8:30, 9 o'clock. So I get there at like 8:40. And the Hotel Cafe, you enter through the back. It's an alleyway, right? I'm in the back, and the guy wouldn't let me in. He's like, dude, it sold out. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, I don't care. I'm not letting you in. She's only on for an hour. I'm like, oh, shit. How did I know? He's like, no, this is L.A., man. We got all these shows. You got to be here on time. I'm like, oh, my God. So anyway, I'm hanging out, and I'm thinking, well, maybe I'll wait for her to come out after the show. And next thing you know, I'm standing there, and I bump into Eric Masick, who – he's going to the hotel. You remember that, Eric?
Yeah, I was playing at 9 o'clock, so you were early for my show.
I was early for Eric's show, and we met, and it was like, Eric's got a great vibe, man. He's got a good-looking guy, you know, great vibe. And I said, you know, something here. And then months later, if you recall, I gave him a call when I was preparing to make this film, Boulevard Zen, and I'm like, you know, I kept thinking of Bruce Springsteen and the song Atlantic City, and I said, you know, I'm going to write something. So I kind of wrote this little poem, so to speak, and then I called Eric, and I said, hey, any chance you'd be interested? And he was all over it, and you remember we rented that studio for the day, Eargasm Studios.
In Santa Monica.
Eric hooked us up with this beautiful studio. We did the whole day. It was 4 songs.
Yeah. Yeah, we ended up, and I brought my guitarist, Bill Jones, up, and then we just kind of did a medley, like, you know what I mean? Like, it was... I like that sort of challenge, but yeah, you had that East Coast vibe about you, man. I totally remember meeting you outside in the back alleyway of Hotel Cafe. It was right before my show, but it was, you know, it was one of those things. It's like, I miss that East Coast vibe. You know, being from Pennsylvania, coming to the West Coast, same thing. I'm not used to going out at, you know, be there 7:45 for an 8 o'clock show. that's like unheard of. I'm like, all right, I'll be there at 10.
No, who does that, right? You got to do that in LA when they say 9 o'clock, especially a place like that. I mean, Minnie Driver, who I practice yoga with, she plays there. Eric's now, you're like a regular there. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, that's a great place to listen to some music. So Eric, I mean, you got all these awards. Let's talk about it. I mean, I'm especially intrigued by the Sundance Film Festival, me being a big film buff, but. So what's happening, man? You got a new album. There's all sorts of stuff happening.
There is a lot of stuff happening, actually. And actually, there's another competition that I'm performing in. It's I was honored to be kind of asked, and then also the entry kind of came in. It's Vitalo's over in North Hollywood, Studio City. So I'm actually
the restaurant upstairs.
Yeah. So what they did is you have a bunch of like music execs. You have a bunch of that are going to be judging the event. And it's a music series. So it literally started this week, and it's going all the way up until November, which is when the semifinals will happen. And, you know, I'm pulling the trigger next week is my time to go. So I have to compete against, like, three other artists. So it's just – it's one of these things where it's a lot of competition, you know. It's a lot of competition, but I enjoy it. And not necessarily – you know, being an athlete all my life, too, I feel like – kind of transitioning to that music, it kind of keeps the blood flowing, to say the least.
Well, talk about competition. I mean, Diesel Indie, you look all these, you win. Music Palooza, you got Best Male Vocal. No, Eric's got a great sound. I mean, talk about your influences. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, these are some serious people.
Yeah, you know what? Music was always in my life, but it was very different. Honestly, my first instrument was accordion, believe
it or not.
3 years
old, I read.
3 years old. I was in diapers rocking out the accordion. That's not, you know, and I thought that was normal in the household, but my family's from Eastern Europe, you know, from a little
Slovakia, right?
Yeah. So, you know, that's a huge influence of mine. You're talking polkas, waltzes, ethnic music, which is for most part very happy. So that was an initial influence, but then I was embarrassed, you know, 10, 11, you become cool, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And I was like, no way, accordion. And I was a huge jock. And then coming back, you know, honestly, I have to say Dave Matthews was probably the biggest influence that he just, it, something about it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, I just wanted to play guitar. I don't know if it was because I wanted girls to like me. I don't know if it was because I really attacked
girls do like you. Every time I see Eric talking about groupies, and they're all these hot, you know, Eastern European women, a lot of them don't even speak English, I think.
So you got to come out to more shows then.
I do. No, I go as many as I can. Right? I remember after Eric and I worked together, you know, he said, you would always see me out. He's like, Rich, I show up.
Yeah, you
I fly solo, whatever I can.
That's what I love, because a lot of people don't roll solo. You know, everybody, a lot of times I have people that want to come out to shows, but they don't want to come by themselves. And you've come to a couple shows, man. I do appreciate the support.
Yeah, solo. Hey, people, don't worry. But in L.A., music is awesome. You got to fly solo. If you don't have, don't be insecure. Just get your butt out there. Because with Eric, you know, you'll see the energy is awesome. Anytime you play, didn't I see you play? I think you said at the Roosevelt Hotel, maybe back. Did you play there outside?
I played at the Lexington. I love that, Roosevelt. Roosevelt's one of my favorite places to just kind of go. I have not played there.
Okay. It was somewhere at the pool. Like, oh, it was it was right around the corner from, I'm telling you, we were at a pool outside, maybe up at the top, the rooftop. What's the name of that hotel we were at?
Oh, I don't remember. It does remind me of Roosevelt, though. I mean, there's so many places in the heart of, I couldn't believe, because I used to live in Orange County, and I keep coming for the shows back and forth, and so, remember MapQuest? I used to use MapQuest, and then all of a sudden, it's like, now that I live in LA, I'm like, oh, there's the Pig and Whistle, I used to play there.
Room 5,
there's
I saw
room
you.
Room 5, yeah.
Lounge
room
on
5
La Brea.
Was another one. Yeah.
And you've been around. And you said 2 years, but folks, before, this guy, he said it, he was coming up. I mean, you got, how long you been doing this?
That's the thing, it's 2 years, and that's strictly in LA. I lived in Orange County, so I made the absolute, like, I'm a musician since 2005, so what is that, 9 years now? Literally 9 years.
There you go. That's a 10-year overnight success, right?
That's what everybody in the music industry is like, hey, it takes 10 years to become an overnight success. I'm like, okay, well, 2015, baby.
2015, it's going to be our year, no doubt. So Dave Matthews, what a great influence there. And what do people say? Jason Mraz, I mean, there's some. What do people say you sound like?
You know what? A lot of it is based on the album, and I get it. I think in the beginning, you know, even my very first album, you know, a lot of people heard the Dave Matthews influence. Then they, you know, the Jason Mraz, the Jack Johnson, James Taylor is another big one. I've gotten...
You're a little more edgier than James Taylor, I think.
The thing is, again, it goes by album, because my one album called Just Right, it literally had a lot of, you know, violin and cello and a lot of ballads, you know, had a lot of cool stuff and very groove-based. And then my next album after that started pushing the envelope. I had horn sections. And so I've really been influenced by blues. Blues lately has been something that's been a huge, huge deal to me, because I never really had blues in my family, to be honest with you. You know, we kind of had a cross between like the ethnic music, and then my brother kind of brought in a bit of that Halloween, Dio, like 80s stuff that 80s. Scared me.
Yeah, we did a throwback to 84 yesterday. So
oh, yeah?
Yeah, now let me tell and let me ask you, I mean, are you constantly, are you searching out new music to get influenced? Are you listen to the older stuff? I mean, what is it that, like, on a daily basis, that's your life, right?
It really is. And the thing is, I always, like, I have friends that I talk to about new music. Hey, man, have you listened to anything? Have you, and we constantly have talked, and then it kind of morphed, and I remember those, you remember those CD cases? I just had, like, 300 CDs, and you constantly, like, make mix CDs. And with today's technology, you know, a lot of the music industry is like, oh, there's nowhere to make money, this and that, because of the Pandoras and all the other Napsters when it, you know, that was huge and stuff. To be honest with you, I got really hooked on Spotify.
Mm.
And Spotify, you know, it pretty much like whatever you listen to, whatever you like, it starts kind of memorizing it, and then it gives you suggestions. And from those suggestions, I've seen so many artists and listen to so many artists that I probably never would have listened to in my life.
Right. You wouldn't have found them.
Yeah. And so there's always the popular stuff. You could always constantly go to, you know, whatever top of the charts is in Denmark and US, and, you know, you have the top of the charts. But finding those songwriters that, you know, only have 1,000 followers, 400 followers, like, you know, those are like the diamonds in the rough sometimes. And I'm just like, wow, this is great. How come people have – there's so much talent out there.
So much talent out there, whether it's, you know, well, especially in music, right? And acting, it's the same thing. Now, did you ever, I mean, you're finding these people, did you ever consider maybe doing something collaborative with them? I know you're kind of fly solo mostly. Well, Bill Jones is awesome. Bill, by the way, just give a shout out to Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, do you ever, like, you might hear some female or another guy and think, oh my God, we could bang out this track?
Absolutely. And it happens a lot. Last year was one of those where I finally took myself out of the comfort zone. And I think I was getting the Jason Mraz, the Jack Johnson type vibe, because I started kind of finding my niche, I guess. You know, I really am getting comfortable in songwriting in my own skin. And so last year, a lot of what I did is I personally like to make myself uncomfortable, because I feel like, you know, that you need time to grow. You need room to grow. So when you get comfortable, it's like the growth, you know, you kind of give yourself a ceiling. So I would start collaborating with people, and it can be uncomfortable because, you know, you're not thinking alike, but you kind of work together and you have this piece at the end. And I collaborate quite a bit. I try to do it more often. But there's always room to continuously collaborate. But that's something that I'm excited on with the next album, because I did collaborate, and there's going to be a song on there. And it's actually Kate Earle. She's a signed artist, and we sat down and wrote a song in literally about an hour or two.
That's how it works, right? The best ones, sometimes they come right out.
Sometimes it takes like that. Yeah, sometimes I've written songs in 15 minutes, and I have other songs that, you know, one of my songs, Mystery of Oklahoma, I didn't release it for over 10 years.
Really?
It just sat there. You know, it was a college-written song.
Did you redo it a couple of times?
Well, you know, initially it was funny, because I listened to the very, very, very first recording that I had. And this is back in college, and it's like a minute intro of me doing the wah pedal on electric, and I'm just sitting there going, "Nah,
yeah,
it just doesn't feel right." Yeah, and then eventually the song completely morphed into, now I have banjo on it. Like, it's Mystery of Oklahoma. You know, it has a feel of that kind of southern swagger a little bit with a little blues influence. So it was really one of those things where, you know, a lot of artists, it's not right for the song yet, you know, and you kind of feel it, and you kind of feel that out. And I think that
it's like
was
a fine wine. It needed it really to is. Really just mature, so
it
to
really
speak.
Is. And then this other one, you know, I have five songs recently that I wrote, you know, and there's three songs that I wrote that, you know, I wrote this year, and I'm ready to take them to the studio.
Are you always writing? I mean, guys like Eminem were writing all the... You're probably writing all the time, right?
It's kind of like almost you have to. You almost have to. I mean, part of it is just because you don't want to lose the craft.
Right.
And I think the other thing is, you know, you write so much that... You know, I don't think people realize that you write so much and only release a tiny bit of that. I would love to release all my stuff, but then, you know, you start realizing some of the stuff might be filler stuff, or some of the stuff you just sit on, like I said. Like, I sat on a song for 10 years.
Right.
And then you just never know what you come up with. And you know, as a creative person in general, like, you just don't deny your feelings. And that's something that, you know, your feelings are always changing. It's easy to write about heartbreak, and that's, I think, where a lot of the stuff starts. And I'm kind of excited because I wrote, like, happy songs, and I'm sitting
What about your mother? Remember the one? It was a real popular one.
She still thinks. She's like, man, that's a hit. That's a hit. Son, that's a hit. And then quit crying about the other songs. But that one, that's a good one.
You know, it must be so. In my previous life, I think I was a musician. I wish I was a musician. Who knows? What a great profession. But I would say it must be like, how does it happen? I mean, one song could put you, I mean, there's so many artists out there that have the one hit wonders, but you're nothing like that, man. You're like, no doubt, for forever you've been producing
that.
Music. Wait, folks, when you hear this guy, you'll know what I'm talking about. He's a real deal. And it's like, I say this with actors, you know, when do you think you get that? Like, is it just luck? Is it just the right person, the right song? I mean, you have some great song. I mean, when we're going to play Life's Boulevard from this film, which my father, I talked to my father today, he called me up. He said, oh, I love your show. I said, oh, guess who we're going to have? He's, oh, my God, you should be playing that song every show. My father loves that. And Stephanie Drapeau, shout out to her. She's in Austin, Texas. You remember her.
I do.
She was also associate producer of the film. And I'll never forget when we were riding to the premiere, it was December 9th, 2009. We got the music blaring in the car. That song, we're singing, you know, it's a real feel-good kind of at the top. But you have so many good songs. It's incredible. I mean, how does it – do people just find you? Or what do you think? How does it work?
You know, I always questioned it, and I always had A&R agents that I would talk to. I always wanted to be signed by a major label and all this stuff. And I think part of it was – that's part of the process. You really have to enjoy what you're doing. Like, all I could say is I'm truly passionate about what I do. And I think that alone, people, you know, I think with the social media in this day and age, like, honesty just gets you, you know, you can't fake your way through success.
No.
I mean, I think, you know, to a certain degree.
It's a passion. The passion
exactly,
has to come
I think when you are absolutely honest and passionate about what you do, it will truly come out. You know, and I've finally humbled myself. Before, I was like, oh, I'm so good. Like, I really think I could do this. And then, you know, all the accolades and everything. And it was everything on a piece of paper. I've really settled into my own skin, to be honest with you, where I'm just truly happy with what I do. And you actually find a niche. Because what is a musician? I mean, I have so many musician friends now, but some of them would rather just be in the studio all the live long day. Some of them would rather be in writing sessions all the live long day. And they just, you know,
like
sell
actors
their music.
Want to stay in classes.
But, no. But for me, it's like I have a vision where I truly want to be on the road. Like, I want to be a road warrior. Like, the influences of mine, even like the Zach Brown bands, the, you know, the Dave Matthews and like those guys, those people, they're out there.
I mean,
there.
Dave played this college circuit for years. My buddy's from East Carolina University. Yeah. He said, this guy, you know, that's the one thing I will say, testament to you, Eric. When you see Eric, when he gets up on stage, it's not the bells and whistles, you know. You don't need all the glam. Eric just takes out the guitar. And that's why when I knew, I said, Eric's got to be the first guy. This is our first week. I said, this is a guy come in. I wasn't familiar with the equipment. You know, mm-hmm. We're not dealing with, you know, we're not recording a song here, folks. He's got one microphone. He's got a guitar. you know, you're not plugging in. It's not all that. So just know, this guy gets up there and you play. You're confident. You kind of roll with it. It's like, hey, this is who I am. This is my stuff. People love it. I mean, every time you're in the audience, you know, I'm always feeling it. It's great energy. I mean, you must love it. That's why you got to keep doing it. You have no problem, like, going on the road and the tour bus and all that.
No, not anymore, to be honest with you. I mean, before it was, you know, I like those nerves. There's always that question but, you know, like in LA teaches you really quick. It doesn't matter if you play in front of 5 or 5,000 or 50,000. It's you got to bring it every time. And that's just something that's at this point, it's common sense. But I think early on when I ended up coming, it was just like, oh, man, like, you know, everything needed to be, you know, there was those nerves. And you overthink it. You overthink it. And eventually it just becomes natural.
Well, let's do this. Let's play Life's Boulevard. This is the theme song from Boulevard Zen. And then we're going to let Eric, we're going to talk for a couple minutes more. And then he's going to play live. Going to pick something from your new album, right? You said you're new work? Or
Probably do a little something chill, but it's positive. It's a positive song, kind of gets a good vibe going. So I'm gonna release it here on the live on
that's,
air.
That's awesome. We're going to get to that in a minute. But check this out, okay? He plays harmonica as well. So this is all Eric. Here we go. It's called Life's Boulevard, theme song from Boulevard Zen.
Sometimes you have to keep the world at bay, because it's people, they have so much to say. And they may tell you what you don't want to hear, but just be weary if your mind isn't clear. Really listen to your heart and just let it be. Undress your mind so you can finally see your dreams come true. Seize the day, Seize your mind and let life take you away. Take you away. Let it take you away. Let it take. Let it take you away. Driving down life's boulevard, there's no paradise. Open up your heart, let it lead you day and night. Just do not dwell on things that can't be undone. Keep pushing forward till the battle is won. Life is too precious, don't get caught in the scene. Let go of your doubt and your low self-esteem. You have to find yourself before you move on. So push yourself and let life sing you its song. Find your own path in life and achieve your zen. Your intuition will attract your true friends. Find yourself, overcome. Be yourself. Be the one, be the one. Be the one to find yourself. Driving down life's boulevard, there's no paradise. Open up your heart, let it lead you day and night. Just do not dwell on things that can't be undone. Keep pushing forward till the battle is won. Oh, oh, oh. That the battle, it may take some time. And you know that the road, it may not lead you right. And in the end, you must find yourself. Cause you are the only one who knows. Driving down life's boulevard is no paradise. Open up your heart, let it lead you day and night. Just do not dwell on things that can't be undone. Keep pushing forward till the battle is won. Oh, oh, oh. Till the battle is won. Oh, oh, oh. Till the battle is won.
So there you have it, folks. Eric Masick, check it out. What do you think? Life's Boulevard. Eric, that was...
That's a blast from the past, yeah. Baby. That's...
Yeah, that was a blast from the past. I mean, I remember that. I clearly remember that in the studio. That was probably one of the most fun days. I never was in a studio for that long
really?
To record. Nah, not really. You know, I had been in studios before in Philadelphia. And, you know, I want to talk about it. That's a good bridge to the whole East-West thing. I've been in Philly, been around musicians a lot. Let me ask you, what's it like to play in a town like a New York City or Bethlehem, your hometown, versus L.A., which is, you know, very different. What's it like?
There's definitely a difference between the East and West Coast. And I love both of them for different reasons, but I will tell you that my fan base back East, I will definitely be drinking more. That's one thing for sure. You know, East, you know.
On like, stage, you mean?
Even on stage. I have friends that, like, I have... A very good friend of mine actually just played at his wedding, but he gets me Zambuca shots every time he sees me at a show. He's Italian, and it's
like
one
Buca.
Of the, yeah, absolutely. So it's funny, and even like Hotel Cafe, I really do enjoy playing there. But sometimes, I mean, you could really it's so quiet there.
Yeah.
So there's like the listening rooms, and then you have your rowdy people, you know, because I also have like Slovaks and Czechs, you know, that come to some of my shows.
There's hot babes. Let me tell you, I'm telling you, when he showed up at my bungalow in Hollywood, first time we met to go through this, you know, what I had in mind, he's like, Rich, can I? I'm like, yeah, bring whoever. These beautiful women. And he's like, hey, he tells him, go walk around the block. They don't speak English. They're walking around. I'm like, Eric, be careful. I live in a, you know, it'd be pretty soon they'd be gone. Yeah.
That's a whole different crowd, too, because I actually played in Europe. I played in Japan.
Really?
You know, I've played...
What's it like in Japan?
That was great. That was great. And it's a very, very meticulous culture from my experience, which I actually loved. You know, like, we have recycling here. Like, they had it down to, like, seven different... You know, it was like plastic, it was glass, it was, you know, the actual trash,
really?
It was compost.
No bullshit over there.
No, I mean, it's so organized. Like, I've never had my Burger King so organized. It was like professional Tetris. Like, I didn't have a single fry at the bottom of my bag. And I was a happy camper. I'm sitting here like all my food.
And they're probably happy to serve you. Not to make comments on the folks here. But yeah. No, my McDonald's, they're awesome. Give a shout out. I do go to McDonald's. Yeah, so you played everywhere. What's it like at the Sundance? I want to hear about this. I've never been to the Sundance Film Festival. Really? No, I've never been there. One of these days, maybe I'll get invited. But hey, I wasn't. So what's it like there? I mean, it's changed a lot, I know, in the last...
It's actually, I have to say, it's Los Angeles in the snow, almost. Ah. LA comes out, and you have, you know, New York, you have your film buffs. I mean, you really do. You have people that are really, really, like, really making it in the music, in the music industry as well. But you have your directors, you have your DPs, you have your actors, actresses, and then you have your A-listers, and that was a big thing. It was very different, I have to say, though, because I went before the economy crashed, like right around like 2008 and stuff. So I went there early on, and it was just like gift bags and gift bags and gift bags. I mean, they were like, you know, I ended up meeting the redhead from that 70s show. And I remember speaking with her the one time, actually. Remember you came to the show at the Derby.
Oh, yeah.
And I met her. I met her up at Sundance Festival. And then I ended up coming down, and I talked to her when she was here in L.A., and she was
too bad it wasn't Mila Kunis. I mean, she's one of my favorites.
Yeah, no kidding. But she was just she had this whole vibe about her. She was like, "Oh, I love Sundance. It's like you just get so much stuff for free. I mean, you get clothes, you get knickknacks, you get.
It's like Christmas.
It is Christmas." And she literally says she half of the time she has to like she'll just pay the extra $50 for the luggage because she gets so much stuff. And she gives it to family, and that's how it was. And then the economy, and then the Sundance after that. Oh man, it completely changed. And so it's a little bit. And again, I don't want to focus on the gift bags, because the thing is there are tremendous amount of movies that are up and coming. And the cool part is that you see stuff that's not on, you know, that's not popular. It's almost like I was talking about. I got excited about Spotify because of all this music that you get to hear, and that's a place to see some real. You know, real up and comers.
It's all quality up and comers. Things that are there's so many. You know, I read a statistic. Actually, I went to a conference once. 7,500 films, indie films, are made every year. $2.5 billion plus. And how many do we see in the theaters on a year? Less than about 50, maybe. Yeah. You know, every week. You know, so think about it. I mean, the studios really. You know, they're putting out the work, but there's so many films, so many filmmakers out there. It's, you know, but there's a lot of talent.
A ton under the radar, and that's the thing is you have. I finally, and I'm not the best spokesperson for this, but in all honesty, like I went for the music. Right. Early on, that's actually where I met Dave Matthews. And I met Dave Matthews. I was very starstruck, but it was at a Yahoo.com party. You know, it was a big – Matis Yahoo was performing live on stage. And it's a place to network, though, I have to say. Yeah. That was one of the biggest things that I thoroughly enjoy. But it was getting a little out of hand. You know, it was like, you know, Paris Hilton coming and Tiger Woods and everybody. Like
big
anybody,
entourages and
huge.
And
I saw, T.I. walking down the street with just a huge entourage and cameras everywhere. And you get a little bit of everything. And I think it's kind of calmed down. But the trueness of it is you really want that those indie films coming out. But you have a little bit of everything. You still got the gift bags. You still got ASCAP lounges there. So I love it for the music. But even last year, for instance, Luke Robitaille from the Kings.
Really?
He puts on a charity event to help kids, you know, kids that are fostered and don't really have a place to go and don't have opportunity because they don't have money for education. Right. And they put on a hockey, a hockey game, and it's literally like all these Hall of Famers. Like I met Chris Chelios and Luke Robitaille was there and, you know, Brendan Shanahan and then you bring in celebrities as well to play hockey. And so
sounds awesome.
That's the thing is every year at Sundance.
But you
I feel
play
like it's so
there,
different.
Right? Are you playing? You're just visiting. Or
well,
you...
I ended up. I really do want to play. I was a little late, but I did talk to them, and they did let me kind of talk to the people and kind of hang out with everybody. So I would like to, you know, if possible, I'd like to play some hockey. I've played hockey. I played a lot of sports, man. I love
hockey.
It.
What about music? Are you playing music there? Or you just
I do.
Yeah,
I do. Almost every year, like there is some form of opportunity, and I think a lot of that has been networking over the years. And and that's one of the things is those are places that's like a mecca. It's the networking that happens there. South by Southwest, like those are places that when you just go and you're there, you know, it's one of the biggest things that sold me on moving to Los Angeles because when you're here. I mean, you have an opportunity to rub elbows with somebody at a grocery store. I mean, at a Trader Joe's. You know, like I don't necessarily get that opportunity in other places. And that's the thing that's so valuable about places like this that I think it's hard to sell people on. Because, you know, I had cold feet. I was like, you know, I'm a Pennsylvania kid. Like, what am I doing out in California? You take a chance.
Creative energy here too. I mean, I always talk about that. LA, if you come to LA, there's no doubt. It's just in the air. It's in the air. So if you're here to create, you got to keep creating. And if you're sitting on your butt locked in your room, forget about it. You better leave. It's going to kick you out anyway, right?
Yeah.
Well, you're doing it. You're out on the streets. So let's talk a little bit about this song. We're going to play a song here. How are you feeling? You're going to get tuned up?
I'm going to play a little song, a brand new one. Actually, I wrote it this year. Literally, it's not even a month old, to be honest with you. And it's a song called No Worries. And again, I'm in a good place right now in life, you know? I really have one of those kind of... just a good vibe overall, and I feel like I said earlier, it's like, you know, you break up with a girlfriend, you lose a job, you do something, you know, something happens. It's a lot easier, personally, I think, to be creative, and because you know you reach deep down and it's just spewing out of you. When something goes wrong in our life, we're just
struggle.
Like, it's very easy to unleash like form of emotion, but when you're happy, you just want to keep being happy. So The hard part for me was like being happy and be like, oh, let me write about it.
Right.
You know, it's like it's almost like you have to think.
Yeah, let me go to where my wife's not sleeping with me anymore. I better start creating. What are those percentages? All right, so let's get you going. I want to right. So here we got Eric Masick's going to play a new song called No Worries. He wrote this year, and it's all yours, Eric.
All righty.
There was a time, I remember when, a time in our lives, when we were just friends. And life was so simple, and there were no worries. Let's go back now and relive those stories. When we're together, there's no worries. There's no worries. We can be ourselves now. We can make forever. Have no worries, no, no. Have no worries. So you can let your hair down. Sometimes our comfort comes from within. And then there's the people who always listen. And raise your head high. There's ones that love you. It's a simple notion we can all live up to. When we're together, there's no worry. There's no worries. We can be ourselves now. We can make forever. Have no worries, no, no. And have no worries. So you can let your hair down. There are times where life just seems to fall apart. And all those little things add up. Collect yourself and trust the ones you love, and have no worries tonight. When we're together, and there's no worries, and there's no worries. We can be ourselves now. We can make forever. Have no worries, no, no. Have no worries. So you can let your head down. When we're together, there's no worries. There's no worries. We can be ourselves now. We can make forever. Have no worries, no, no. Have no worries. So you can let your head down now. You can let your head down. Oh, you can let your head down.
That's me right there. Awesome, man. That was, holy cow. I love that, man. So what do you think, folks? This guy here, he's rocking it. I can't wait for you to be center stage, Eric, big time over there at the Staples Center, huh?
I'm hoping for it. That's the game plan. That is the game plan.
Eh? We'll get there next year, 2015.
2015, that's man, what I was saying.
That's some great stuff. Now, do you go and add... Is that something? I mean, I love it. Acoustic. I'm a big acoustic fan. Mm-hmm. Do you add to that? Do you add Bill? Do you bring in a crowd?
You know, well, you don't know. You know, this one, the EP that we're doing, is going to be a 5-song EP, and you know, I'm finally stepping up the game. I'm going ahead and getting a producer, well-known producer, Michael Blue. We're going to be working together. He's the one that did Bubbly. You know, Colby Calais. Oh, he did Augustana. He did Jason Mraz. He did a whole slew of stuff. He actually just finished doing the new Toad the Wet Sprocket album as well.
Awesome.
So it's one of those things, like, you know, it's risk reward type things, but you know, I've always produced my own stuff, and it's time to bring in somebody else. You know, it's kind of like an artist. You just have to have somebody else listen and look at your stuff. And you know, he listened to some of the stuff, and same thing, he was really excited, and he said, yeah, you know, we consolidated to like 5 songs, and you know, we're moving forward with it. So right now I've been hibernating a lot. You know, like I said, I feel like I haven't done too many events. I feel like, you know, I feel like I can have a good beard if
Yeah, right. Well, that's awesome news. No, I mean, it's the same with me. I've been producing everything, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, it'd be great. If somebody called and said, hey, we'd like to give you 3. Oftentimes it works that way. There's someone out there in the universe. I mean, Bubbly, I play her in my yoga class. I play you in my yoga class.
Oh, nice. I appreciate that.
I mean, hey, when it touches a chord, I mean, you're heartfelt, man. That's the kind of thing I love about this guy's voice right here. It's heartfelt. It touches you deep down. You can relate to it. All the words, no worries, you know. It's like everything.
No,
you got to listen to the lyrics. That's awesome. So you got the producer. You got this coming out. I mean, kind of laying low, doing your thing in L.A. Now, what else is happening? I mean, any trips lined up?
You know, well, I just came back from the East Coast, and I was down in San Diego for a couple shows. We ended up doing this wine event, which was really cool. And so, like, a lot of good vibes and, you know, just trying out some of the new music here and there. And, you know, it's funny because you have always appreciated I appreciate your compliments, but you really appreciate the acoustic aspect of it. And that's actually what you used for your film. Right. And it's funny because my fan base has actually said the same thing in terms of, you know, you go into the studio, you produce. Some people think it might be overproduced, but that's kind of like the stuff that you pitch to film. That's the stuff that you pitch to, like, radio and things of that nature. It doesn't have to be, but I really did find that my niche is live.
Like, dude, I'm telling you, your voice is incredible, dude. That's why I'm like, I don't. To me, the acoustic, the voice. I mean, it's pure to me. It's like if you fill it all, you know, people to me that don't have the good voices need all that shit.
Yeah,
they need all that shit, and then you're really listening to the beat, and you're not really hearing with you. I think you got to go like Dave Matthews. His voice. I mean, you just want to listen to this guy.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because he definitely has that. You know, you love him or hate him. There's almost no in between because, you know, he's not one of those guys that, for instance, wouldn't do extremely well on The Voice. You know, he's not, like, vocally trained or anything, but it's unique. You listen to him and you're like, you know exactly who it is. And that's, you know.
That's what you like about it. And that's why when people compare you, I'm like, nah, man, people are going to be comparing to you.
I
keep it going with the acoustics. I mean, when you see him live, hey, folks, look it up. Eric Masick, it's ERICKMACEK. .com. Got a cool website. He's out there all over YouTube. Check it out. You know, there's songs out there. The song you just heard, Life's Boulevard, you can go to mine and down, you know, go check it out. It's out there for free. We put it out there because, hey, it's feel good. Eric's all about feel good. So Eric, before we depart, I do this with every guest. We go through what's called the Fast Five. I got to shoot 5 questions. Well, before I do that, is there any other things you want to say? Wrap it up, because this, we're going to wrap it up, and we're going to kind of move out of here in a few minutes. But any shout-outs you want to say, anybody in particular?
I really appreciate it. I mean, I know you're sitting right here across from me, but I do appreciate, you know, calling me up, and it's good to reconnect. It's good to see you. You know, I always want to give a shout-out to the fam. You know, they're back east, and obviously the family, and my oldest brother, you know, served in the military for 24 years, and he's finally has a house down in South Carolina. And then my other brother works at Johns Hopkins in Maryland. So, it's, you know, family's important. So definitely giving a shout out to them.
You got it. Good dude here talking about the family, no question. All right, so here we go, Eric. It's the Fast Five. All you got to do is you got to pick one or the other. You'll see it's pretty straightforward. We're going to learn a little bit about your personality.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's pretty simple, nothing too harsh. All right, number one, chocolate or vanilla ice cream?
Let's go with chocolate.
Everybody goes with chocolate. No, I can see that.
Chocolate chip mint, though.
I didn't want to go too funky. I'm like, holy cow. Yeah, we kept it simple. You know, that's interesting. I don't think anybody's in the 5 days so far, no one's chose vanilla. How about that?
Yeah.
All right, let's go with number two. Well, I think I know the answer to this one. Tropical island or New York City?
Oh, man. If I got to pick fast, I'm still young enough. Let's do New York.
Yeah, you got it. You're the one playing on the streets of New York. Tropical island. Who the hell's going to listen? No. Yeah. No, you got the fan base. Well, they love you in New York, right? You got.
Yeah. It's a busy town, but I love it. I lived in London for a while, so
a mini New York.
Exactly. I feel like it's very similar.
You got it. Number three, ancient Rome or the Wild West?
Ancient Rome.
Oh, cool.
Ancient Rome, yeah. I like the history, baby.
Right? You got to go.
Not that I don't know if I'd want to live there, but the Wild West, I like playing with swords, not guns.
Yeah, I don't know if there was a lot of guitars back in there. They just used them to beat people up.
No kidding.
You're right? We got number four here. Tearjerker or action thriller?
Ooh. Let's go with the action thriller.
Really?
Yeah.
With the music you play, I was thinking maybe the tearjerker, no?
Yeah, that's probably where my music
would. Music
would,
is it,
my
yeah.
My music would probably, you're right, though. Music would lean towards there, but I just think of Braveheart, Gladiator, like that, like all those just action.
Well, wait a minute. Braveheart, I could call a tearjerker, too. That crosses the boundary.
It does.
No, actually. So our last one here, this one here, what do you think? Candlelight dinner or picnic in the park?
Picnic in the Park.
Ah, you got it with the guitar.
Cruising
out with all the beautiful women hanging around.
That's all. Yeah, that's fun, simple, and I want a woman. I don't have to. You know.
Yeah, right.
She can keep it simple with me.
Keep it simple. By the way, do you have a woman, or are these ladies lucky out there?
I don't at the moment.
Uh-oh. There you go, ladies. If you're listening, go check it out. Good-looking guy here. He's all good shape, too, all into fitness. Well, Eric, thank you so much, man. This
thank
was
you.
Awesome being the first guest on Friday to open up Acoustic Friday. Folks, I hope you enjoyed it. It was awesome. I truly did. So, we always wrap up the show. You know who this is. I'm Rich Tola. And remember, miracles do happen. But, hey, what do I know?
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.